Welcome back. You're listening to The Way Home with Laura Smith. Here's Laura.
One of my greatest joys with this job is that I get to talk to not only new people that have written books or have a new platform of some sort, but I love it when my old friends have done such a thing. And so I'm very grateful to have someone I haven't talked to in many, many years, but he made such an impression on me when we worked together basically at Sirius XM on a channel called Lime, which Lime Radio, which I was fortunate enough to be able to put together, and I ran it. I was the program director, had a show on it, but I was able to find some of the most extraordinary speakers and teachers in the world and authors. And Dr. William Dufour was one of them. And he has a brand new book. And so it brought us back together for The Way Home with Laura Smith. So I'm so grateful to have Bill Dufour here. A Good Finding is the name of it. We're going to hear all about what good finding means. It's a wonderful topic that has so much depth to it. A User's Guide to EQ and Your Brilliant Mind. William, thank you so much for being on The Way Home.
Thank you, Laura. I'm glad to be here.
It's a beautiful book. It's almost like a guidebook, I would say, in terms of how you've laid it out and all these ideas for people. You know, there's a lot of books out there on how to live your best life, on self-help and things like that. But a lot of it is not easy to really kind of sit down and learn the process to be able to follow it. Yours does. Good Finding does. So I want to just start by, I know you have a story about how you came up with that term, good finding, but I'd like to hear it from you again. And tell us what it means, because it's used throughout the entire premise of the book.
Well, our mind is like a search engine that's always busy looking for and finding things to focus on. Sometimes 3 o'clock in the morning when we'd rather be sleeping, our busy mind can get fixated on different topics. And so this is the intentional use of that searching and finding process. Our mind is a brilliant tool, and yet we never have been educated on how to use it effectively. And when we use it effectively and find what is good, right, and working within us and the world around us, it works better. It activates higher brain functions. It brings in our loving heart, and it actually helps us to connect with our authentic spiritual self. So it's using the mind intentionally just opens a portal to so much value.
Yes. And I would say some people might think, oh, well, this sounds like a sort of a scientific approach, being that your mind and you talk about the brain, but you really, like you said, you really are incorporating the aspects of the spirit of the mind and also, the heart and the soul. So good finding, meaning focusing on maybe the higher aspects of life. You talk a lot about how many of us unwittingly or wittingly, we stay at a certain level a lot with our thinking, with our thoughts, and they're at this base level of survival and our current needs and our fears and things like that. That you say is inherent in humanity. However, there is another place that you can find good things within that. And so, talk about that a little bit, the difference between the sort of the lower aspect of the mind and then the higher.
The default mechanism of the mind is to find and focus on problems that need to be resolved, potential threats and tasks that need to be completed. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a very useful thing. We want to solve our problems and complete our tasks and deal with any potential threat. The problem comes when a person allows too much of their consciousness to be consumed by just problems and tasks and threats. Because there's more happening than problems, tasks, and threats. You know, there's this beautiful, magnificent miracle of life that every moment is a privilege to be alive on this planet. And there's so much mystery and magic going on. And we're going to miss that if we're just going from problem to problem and task to task.
Absolutely. Some people would, argue for that, being that, well, but that's just the way life is. I get up in the morning. The kids need to be fed and get off to school. I got to get to work. I got to pay the bills. I got to do this. You know, how am I supposed to find the magic in all of that?
Well, that's a very good question. And you're right. A lot of people live right there because they're very busy. And particularly people have kids and are working, et cetera. But if you take 3 seconds to look into the eyes of that magical child that you're getting ready for school, and look into their eyes and open your mind and heart to the mystery of who this child is, and just look at them and go, wow, I'm so glad you're here. Now let's get you dressed. You know, you don't have to stop the task. You don't have to ignore all of the things that need to be done. Just take those brief moments at every opportunity to appreciate the beauty and the miracle of each person and each moment.
You talk a lot about that in Good Finding in your latest book, and live appreciating. And you break it down. Appreciate your body, appreciate your mind, appreciate your relationships, appreciate. And then you talk about the same, you do that same thing in terms of living in gratitude. Mm-hmm. And so you place such a big emphasis on that. And is that, so are those some of the ways in which we can get from that sort of basic mind of task orientation and fear and problem solving to the miraculous, to the mysterious, to the beautiful?
Yes, absolutely. There's been a lot of research being done on the value and the importance of positive emotions. And when you activate positive emotion, like having children, raising children, it's all about love. It's not about getting things done. I mean, yeah, we do have to get things done, but without love, it's just this empty string of tasks and connection does not occur. So that we open our heart to love by focusing our mind on what's good and right and working. And like, children can be a problem, right? They can misbehave and do things you don't want them to do. And if your focus is on getting those problems solved, you're going to miss the beauty of that magical child. And so when you focus on your gratitude for that child and your appreciation of their uniqueness and maybe love their rebellious spirit, it's causing them to create difficulties for you. And if you embrace that, it expands the relationship. It's more whole and complete. And the tasks can still be done, but ultimately so much more effectively when the heart is open to love and when and the mind, with focusing on appreciation, opens the heart to love.
Absolutely. And you actually talk about in one place about, it reminds me of the quote in the Bible about give thanks in all things. And you talk a lot about go ahead and go over what's happened in the past, even the difficult, very difficult things, but see them with the eyes of appreciation. How does somebody do that in reality? It's not easy. Sometimes we look at the past, and if we see a mistake, we feel so ridden with guilt, or we feel so overwhelmed by sadness. How do you find appreciation in those things?
Well, you mentioned, you know, the sadness and the guilt and maybe shame or regret. Those are emotional like lead weights that hold us down, and they can actually create density in our energetic system, contributing to the likelihood of illness. So this is not just a don't worry, be happy approach, or be happy, or, you know, look on the sunny side. It's actually very practical, because if we don't utilize our mind to open our heart and to focus on the good and the beauty of the world, we will create density and illness in ourselves. A system becomes toxic when it has too much density and blockage in it. And so we're keeping our entire system open and fluid and the energy moving by focusing on the brighter and more beautiful aspects of life. The thing is so challenging, Laura, is that the difficulties and the darkness and the pain producing and the fear producing elements are like magnetic, and they pull the attention in, and the person can close down and get tunnel vision in those dimensions. And yet it's such a great cost if the person allows that to be predominant in their life and they don't recognize this incredible beauty that is all the time, everywhere. Now, back to your question specifically, how do you find the good in something that was horrible? How do you find value in something that just seemed like an atrocity that never should have occurred? This is where the power of using your mind intelligently and bringing in emotional intelligence comes in. It's like whatever it is, you make it valuable by looking at how did I grow stronger and smarter, wiser because of this? Like, okay, that happened and I hated it and I don't want it to happen anybody else. And I would never perpetrate that on anybody else. But now that it's happened, it is part of my life experience. How can I get smarter and stronger because of it? That's how we rise above. That's how we find the value and the goodness in the bad.
Mm-hmm. The lessons learned, just part of it. And you talk about, at one point in Good Finding in your new book, about what you focus on grows, what you look upon grows. Explain a little bit of that. Is that the law of attraction in another language?
Yes. Yes, it is. And it's also about the power of perception and the power of focus. Many people do not realize that our focus is a creative mechanism. And we are all living in our own reality. We really are. We'd like to think that we know what the true reality, capital R, is. But in fact, each one of us has our own version of reality. And so that what we pay attention to grows is that's how you're creating your own reality. There are people who right now believe that the world is horrible and bad and getting worse all the time. And intelligent people, right? Smart people. You probably know some. We all do. And there are people who believe that the world is getting better all the time. Now, and both are correct according to what they focus on. Right now, we can gather all kinds of data and proof to demonstrate the world is bad and getting worse. And we can provide a lot more data that's not as readily available because it's not in mainstream media. It's not sensational. But data and proof that the world is, in fact, getting better, that we are all improving, that information is also available. So the question is, what kind of reality do you want to create for yourself? The optimist lives in a world that has data and information about bright and beautiful things happening. The pessimist has data and information about dark and difficult things. That is, so what they pay attention to grows because it is the reality that they're creating for themselves. Now, there are a lot of people that would argue about this. Like, we've got to face the facts, you know. This is, you know, I saw this news program last night and it states clearly that blah, blah, blah. Well, the fact is that, as you well know, you're in the media. News, mainstream news, has to sell, right? And in order to sell, it's got to be sensational. That's not the type of information and content that you provide because you're not giving the nightly news. You're providing information that's uplifting and encouraging and inspiring about multiple dimensions of human experience. But it's not selling the way the nightly news does, the way the latest disaster sells. So we have to be educated consumers of the information coming across the waves. And that determines the reality we live in. So what we pay attention to grows because our attention, our focusing, is a creative process.
Absolutely. I think of that so often, William, about how, you know, if you do open a newspaper and 99% of it is something negative. And I always say to myself, at the same time all this negative stuff was happening, there was an equal amount of joyous, beautiful, wonderful things that were happening. And yet it's just not focused on. So We do a good news segment every week in this show. It'll be coming up soon. And I just, because that's a choice, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of what you talk about in Good Finding is that this is a choice. How you view, how you perceive, how you choose is something that it's a conscious thing. It's not because we can find ourselves, even the most positive of us that feel like we really live a positive life, we can find ourselves in that rotation of tasks that need to be done, fear of things that need to happen or might not happen, and all those types of things. We all find ourselves in those, as you said at the beginning of our segment together. And yet your good finding is that you really can train yourself to start seeing this. So you've kind of laid out a wonderful, wonderful guidebook to this in Good Finding. Oh my goodness. I wish we could teach this to children, you know, in school or something, because I don't think people are aware. And even when they get older and adults, they're not aware of how they can train their thinking. I say more than in mind, it like their thinking, how sure. they perceive things. And sure. so do you have hope for us in that sense? Like, your book is teaching how to do that. And it's put together in such beautiful ways that are really, truly practical. Is it something that you think a lot of people are open to, more so now? Are we evolving as a species? Are we trying to be more positive as we evolve?
Yeah, I'm not trying to fix what's broken. I'm trying to join in with the people who are already creating value, because it's huge. I've started a Good Finding newsletter probably 25 years ago. And at first I thought I was concerned I wasn't going to be able to find enough positive news. Now it's huge. It's all over the place. It's not sensational. It's not attention grabbing, but it's there and it's gigantic. And you mentioned there is as much good as there is bad. There's actually far more.
Ah.
Far. And I was doing a talk on Good Finding once at one point at Cooper Aerobic Center, and there was a news media executive who was present. He said, what people don't realize is that we report the exceptional. And these sensational events, we're reporting them because they're exceptional. The big picture of things is not newsworthy. Like, what if our headlines started saying last night, 40 billion people, or this many billion people, or this many million people had dinner together and tucked their kids in and slept well and got up and went to work. Right.
Right.
And this many cities had the infrastructure that worked because everybody showed up and did their job.
Mm-hmm.
Finding is about taking nothing for granted or appreciating every heartbeat, every positive experience in a service with the service industry. It's about expanding the heart and mind to be in an ongoing state of appreciation and gratitude and optimism. Steven Pinker has done some really good work. Enlightenment Now is one of his books.
Mm-hmm.
And he's. I heard an interview with him, and this interviewer said, well, you're such an optimist. He said, I'm actually not an optimist. He said, I'm a researcher. The information I provide gives people optimism, but I'm just researching and telling you what's going on. And his research indicates there is improvement across the board in all aspects of our human functioning globally. But that doesn't, that, you know, people go to sleep and hear that kind of information. It's not sensational.
Right.
It won't sell.
But you know what? They think it won't sell, but it does sell. Because if you think about the positive thinking movement that maybe it started probably in the 1800s, with a lot of metaphysical studies and such. But, you know, you think of a Norman Vincent Peale who started preaching at, you know, Marble Collegiate in Manhattan. And, you know, he was preaching positivity, and people were very, you know, shocked by that, because, you know, a lot of, you know, religiosity before that had gone before was all about doom and gloom. And that's how you get in line. And that's how you please God, is by, you know, making sure that you're just, you know, so miserable and humble that you don't enjoy life. So he came along and he changed a lot of that. And after that, of course, we have so many. You mentioned Steven Pinker, but I'm thinking of everybody from Deepak Chopra to Don Miguel Ruiz to you to Conversations with God, who also used to do the radio show with us on Lime Radio, at Neil Donald Walsh. There's just a plethora of people who are really shining lights on all of this. And there's a market for it. We know that, you know, people love it and people are following it. And I love following you on social media because your posts are always beautiful. They're always positive and they're real. You have a beautiful relationship with your wife, and it just comes, it just, you know, pours out of the pages, and it's not intentional to, you know, have people be jealous of you or anything like that. It's just it's a real way that you express yourself. And I find that that is much more attractive to follow than any type of sensationalistic type of stuff. Although I do get addicted to some of them, Twitter and, you know, things like that. I'm a news anchor on the radio station in the morning. So I tend to have to do this, but it's so important to infuse it with what you said, the good finding of it. And I really urge everyone to get your new book, your latest book, because you have so many and so many Audible. And I really urge people to find Dr. William DeFore online with his books, with his speaking engagements that he's done that are recorded, because you will absolutely grow, learn, and love from all of them. But his latest is called Good Finding, A User's Guide to EQ and Your Brilliant Mind. And let me tell you, it's just chock full of ways to make you feel that your life truly is beautiful and you have so much to be grateful for. William DeFore, thank you so much. Where can people find you, especially? What is your website?
Well, it's easy. Goodfinding.com. All one word, goodfinding.com. And you can access everything there, the books, the audio books, etc.
I urge everyone to do it. Goodfinding.com. Thank you so much for being on The Way Home. What an absolute pleasure to see you. I'm so grateful.
Thank you, Laura. I enjoyed it very much.
Okay. You're listening to The Way Home. We'll be right back.